Mercy and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I used to live down the street from this older couple. This was, of course, before I moved to seminary. And I would go and once a week mow their lawn and do work for them, work in the gardens, just odds and ends kinds of thing. They're both in their 90s, been married 70 years. They needed some help. And I noticed it because one day I was walking down the street and I saw them trying to mow their own lawn. And I said, that's not working out too well. So I stepped in and I helped. And I did that all summer long. And afterwards, I would always sit down and listen and just kind of talk with them. They had some of the most incredible stories to share. It was fantastic. They've traveled all over the world. They've been all different places. They've done all these different things. It's incredible to hear. And one story stood out to me in particular. It was about the man's brother. The man's brother was a fighter pilot in World War II who flew 98 successful missions in and around Europe. But on his 99th mission, he got shot down. He got shot down behind enemy lines. Surprised that he made it, this was... He started shifting into his brother's perspective. Amazed that he made it and survived the crash, he pulled himself up out of the cockpit and stumbled down and started looking around, knowing that he had to flee and he had to run. Because staying with the plane meant death. German soldiers would come and fire and kill whoever they found. So he had to move. And he saw that there was this kind of bush undergrowth thicket, probably about the size of the alcove over there. And he sees further away, off to the other side, there's a little tiny bush, maybe about half the size of the lectern. And at first he starts taking off for the thicket, thinking, I can hide in there, they won't see me, it'll be fine. But then halfway there he realizes, no, that's the first place they're going to look. It's the most obvious hiding spot. So instead, he runs and hides behind the little bush, alone, separated from friends, from family, from loved ones, from brothers in arms, from allies, alone behind enemy lines, separated. Sounds rather hopeless. Frankly, it is when it's us versus whatever the world has to throw at us. It's rather hopeless when we're separated, when we're alone. But see, God doesn't leave us alone. God unites us. We are united. We're united in multiple ways. The first way is in word, and the second way is in water. The first way is in one language, and the second way is in baptism. Well, hold on, wait. Daniel, hold on. There's like thousands of languages. Like, have you not read the Tower of Babel? Like, what? One language? Yeah, the Tower of Babel. Let's talk about it. So it happens right after Noah and his family get saved from the flood. Two of every kind of animal come onto the ark. God saves them. They come out about six generations after that. There's about 30,000 people on the planet from that lineage. So they all speak one language. And frankly, 30,000, that sounds like a really big number, but back then, it was really important to have a lot of kids to carry on the family tradition. The family worked to help split the burden of everyday life. Having a lot of kids was important, so 30,000 is a very reasonable number. And they're all gathered together in this plane, and they want to build this tower. It sounds simple enough. I mean, towers are fine. We have some towers. We have some pretty funky towers. I mean, we have the Sun Sphere. It's a giant golden ball on top of a green stick. We've got a bunch of funky architecture. We got a lot of different towers. But see, their tower was different. Their tower was not just a harmless tower. It was a tower of rebellion. This tower was praising creation rather than the Creator. This tower was showing their own might, their own force, their own power, their own pride, and their unity, that they're all together, they're all working together, there's one society, there's no one to stand and oppose them. Let's build this tower. We'll make the heights of this ziggurat structure reach into the heavens. We'll get into the heavens on our own. Forgetting God because of their pride, blinded by their pride. Reaching up into the heavens, trying to make it on their own. But see, God sees this and says, no, that's not right. So he comes down and he shakes it up a little bit. And he brings judgment. Judgment to their pride. We know pride. We're prideful. We're prideful with where we go to school, with where we work, what car we drive, what promotions we have, what positions we hold on various boards, what grades we get in school, how much money we make. We're prideful. Where's our judgment? Where's our judgment? The descendants of Noah got theirs. God pierced the very heart of what it is they're sinning. It was their pride in their own strength, their pride in their own numbers. God pierces it to the core, and he brings judgment. Now, it's not a judgment like we've seen with a massive flood. It's not a judgment of the ground opening up and swallowing everybody. It's not a judgment of fire coming down from heaven. It's not animals attacking them. It's not lightning zapping a bunch of people. No, this judgment doesn't directly kill anyone. But it brings them the most hurt and pain. He pierces their pride, he pierces their unity, and he separates them. The ungodly become separated. But see, we as Christians have been unified. We've been unified in one language, in one word. And it started pretty well kick-started at Pentecost. Now let's quick walk through the story of Pentecost. Pentecost is this harvest festival where thousands of people are coming to Jerusalem to celebrate. I don't know if any of you have ever been to a medieval city in Europe or even been to Jerusalem itself, but there's a lot of stone, a lot of windy roads, a lot of big marketplaces and big squares where people can go and gather and all these things, and everything's so close together. And so when you're sitting in a house, when you're talking in a house, you can be heard from outside. I mean, think about it at a rowdy barbecue. People were talking inside, and you can hear them outside, especially after a few Lutheran beverages. You can really hear them outside. But yeah, they're talking together. They're talking in this house, and because there's no actual soundproofing in the house, there's no actually properly fitting windows or, like, doors that fit the door frame. There's none of that. No. So when they're talking together, you can hear them outside, and they're talking, and then whoosh, this wave just kind of washes over them. This massive gust of wind comes in, and they all start speaking in different languages. And now some people hear this outside, and of course some are walking by, and they hear it, and they're like, what's up with them? There's something off about that. No. So they're clearly Jewish. They're clearly, like, what, they're speaking gibberish. They have to be drunk. They have to be drunk. And of course, Peter, being the spokesman he is, stands up and he says, no, they are not drunk. No, it's not that time of day yet. Obviously never heard of the concept that it's 5 o'clock somewhere, but no, they're not drunk. They're proclaiming Christ. They're proclaiming Christ, the man that you crucified and hung up on that tree. They're proclaiming him. He came and saved the world and took the sins of the world for those who would believe that they might be saved and have eternal life with him. They're proclaiming this. And so others who are walking by still, who've made the journey to Jerusalem, come and they hear in their own native tongue some guy talking. It's pretty crazy. I mean, it's like if we were to go to an island where there's a tribe speaking a native language that we don't understand, and then somebody stands up and starts speaking to you, hey, how you doing? Of course we're going to stop and listen. We're going to stop and talk to them. We're going to listen and hear, especially when it's a beautiful message like that of Christ coming for you and for me. So we're united in this one language, this one word, Christ, the proclamation of Christ. We're united. What once was chaos has been brought into order. What once was separated has been reunited. What once was a judgment of condemnation has become a judgment of a different kind, a judgment of salvation. So we've been united in language, but we've also been united in water, in baptism. I love how in Lutheran circles we always talk about, remember your baptism, remember your baptism. And in fact, in the first page of your bulletin, if you turn there, it says, we begin this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, with a little cross in there. If you look in the hymnal, that cross stands for in remembrance of your baptism. And you'll see some people out here making the sign of the cross in remembrance of their baptism. Not any pious movements, but no, it's truly to remember the promise that God gave them in their baptism. I also love it, Concordia Seminary, we have this massive baptismal font. As soon as you walk into the chapel, and you'll see guys as they're walking in, they'll dip their fingers in, and they'll make the sign of the cross on their forehead, or dip their fingers in and make the sign of the cross on their body in remembrance of their baptism, remembering that they're united with God in baptism. We also have this thing in our rite of baptism. Some of you may remember this if you were baptized as a little bit older. If you were an infant, you might have learned this in confirmation. But it's something where we go and we renounce the devil. And it starts off, do you renounce the devil? All right, so this is where I say, do you renounce the devil? This is where you respond, yes, we renounce him, or yes, I renounce him. Okay, let's try this again, take two, okay? Do you renounce the devil? Yes, I renounce him. Do you renounce all of his works? Yes, I renounce all of his works. Do you renounce all of his ways? Yes, I renounce all of his ways. We renounce the devil in baptism. We're united with God in baptism. We've been given the Spirit of the living Christ in baptism. And that puts a target on our back. Because the devil hates it. The devil doesn't like it. The devil fights every day for it, for you to be drug away from God. He fights, he claws, he punches, he scrapes, he drags as best he can to bring you away from God. Every day, from the moment you wake up to the point where you lay your head on your pillow and pray, God, keep me safe this night. It's a fight every day. And it's not a fight that's typically fought here in the sanctuary during service. No, it's a fight that happens outside as soon as you step out of these doors. It's a fight this morning. It's a fight this afternoon. It's a fight tomorrow and every day of the week. This is a ready room. This is where you get equipped to go out and fight the good fight. This is where you hear the word of God and get refreshed. What does the fight look like? Well, it comes in a few different forms. And it happens all over the place. It happens in your home. It happens at lunch after church. It happens at work, in the classroom, in the lunchroom. It happens everywhere. And it happens easily. Because believe it or not, sinning is really easy. It's easy to make fun of somebody when they're going through a hard time. It's easy to put somebody down who's already down. It's easy to go along with the flow to try and push off work onto other people. It's easy to do a lot of things, to do things behind your parents' backs. Yeah, I'm talking to you kids. Okay? It's easy to do a lot of things. But see, we're called to live a different way. We're called to live and love. We're called to love our neighbors as ourselves. We're called to honor our father and our mother. We're called to not slander and to not murder someone else's reputation, but instead love them and defend it, even when it's hard and especially when it's hard. God has unified his creation in word and in water. in language, and in baptism. Now go forth in this unity. Be bold in the Holy Spirit and live according to his commands. Amen.